Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Candlewood Podcast, the final, as we know things right now, we expect the final Candlewood Podcast because we think this is going to be our last time in the recording studio for this session of COVID-19. Next weekend, we're June 21st, we're planning our first gathering at Jim and Beth Reed's house. That's at 4 p.m. Sunday the 21st, and so we're looking forward to getting together with everybody again, and of course we'll be doing our best to keep everything safe and keep our distance from each other and avoid turning the Reed's house into a giant petri dish. Okay, so it's going to be a great time. I'm really excited about this, and all of the elders are. Everybody who's involved in this is really excited about it, and I hope you are as well. Hey, listen, that's really all I have for announcements. And I do want to bring up a couple of things, though, a couple of subjects that most good pastors find really uncomfortable. In fact, they're so uncomfortable that you very rarely hear sermons on these two topics. Now, you're probably thinking I'm not going to be talking about sex and politics. Well, that's not it. This is worse, okay? One of these subjects is money. The Bible talks about money a lot. But there's been so much wrong teaching, so much abuse of this subject by pastors who use these topics to get rich themselves personally, that the good pastors really tend to shy away from this, even though the Bible is just chock full of godly wisdom about how we should handle our money. Okay, the other one is, the other forbidden taboo subject is the Holy Spirit. A lot of charismatic groups out there, they become really popular by playing on the emotional aspects of the Holy Spirit. And again, they ignore the context to arrive at the teachings that paint the Holy Spirit in a false light. And so there's a fear that, for example, a Baptist teacher preaches about the Holy Spirit, his congregation will assume that he's gone to the dark side because only charismatics talk about that stuff. But he's all through the Bible. You just cannot ignore the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls him the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Truth, and on and on and on. And he has a complex job description. He does a lot of things. He teaches us. He reveals Scripture to us. He seals our salvation. And the list goes on and on and on. In fact, without his help, we couldn't be saved in the first place because he convicts us of our need for salvation, and he makes it possible for us to believe. Let me read you just three short verses here from Titus, chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, and then we'll pray. Paul said, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works that we have done by us in our righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." One of the Spirit's many roles is as our guide, and we'll hear about that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the amazing fact that he lives within us and that he is active in our lives, that he teaches us and he guides us and he reveals truth to us. Father, we thank you for that ministry in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be more attentive to him. Help Mike, as he teaches this morning, to be teaching your truths directly from your word without any bias that would lead us astray, but directly on the line that you've laid out in Scripture so that we can know what it is that you have for us in your word today. Help us to be attentive, to be compliant to your expectations, and to be teachable as your students and your children. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Jerry, I have to say thank you for all that you've done to make this happen during this very unusual time for Candlewood. The fact that we are sitting right now in the BBI studios, and whether you realize it or not, Jerry's been the one who's been engineering all of this, recording all of this, editing all of this, and getting it on the web. We just appreciate all that you've done. Very much thanks to BBI for allowing us to be in this recording studio. You know, this is an interesting sermon and teaching time to look at from Acts chapter 16, because as I go into this, I need to share with you that I've had many planning and working sessions and been a member of the expert team to do planning and consulting and deciding all kinds of issues about the church. Issues such as how to really do church, how to format it, how to make a church grow, because numbers means dollars, and that was always one of our goals in big church. How to do marketing for church so that others would come in. How could we attract them and hook them to bring them in? Exactly words that we would use in our planning times. how to hire the right talent that would draw a crowd, which meant the latest and hottest music, how to utilize the latest trends to capture this generation, what kind of media, what kind of communication patterns, and the list goes on and on. Me working with the experts to find out all these little keys to get more people in the doors. And I would have to admit, and I would say this, sadly confess, that all during these times, there was not much or any mention of what the Holy Spirit might want to do. Truthfully, I can't remember a time that we even had a consultation with him. A short prayer to the Lord, but never really looked toward the Holy Spirit for the guidance that he needed to give us. And as I say these words, I'm impacted by what I've just said, because we who were in the strategic leadership positions did not care to consult with or direct our attention to what the Holy Spirit wanted to do in each of these instances. What his mind was. What his mind is. What was he going to energize? What was his strategy? What was he going to do to accomplish his own will? And even come to the realize this, that the church itself is his to start with. Shouldn't we go to him to see what he wants? So today, we rediscover the phenomenal role that the Holy Spirit plays in his church. And maybe for most of us, the very real reminder that it is his church to do with and build as he sees fit, all to his glory.
You know, Mike, one of the things that I love most about being an elder with you and Jim and with Glenn and Steve is that no matter whoever it is that's praying as we start or end our meetings, the focus is always first on living holy lives and then seeking God's guidance as to how Candlewood and the people of Candlewood can best show Jesus to the folks around us. There's an obvious awareness among each of us that I just totally love of our total dependence on the Holy Spirit's wisdom, for guidance in our personal lives and for our leadership roles. Jesus said that he would build his church, not us. And he does that as his people seek his direction.
Well said, Jerry. There's really a key teaching that needs to be laid down here before we get into the meat of this matter. And to fully appreciate this leading of the Holy Spirit, I need to understand how vitally important it is that I be about the business, that I be about the imperatives of the Holy Spirit already. I need to be doing what he's called me to do, no matter what situation I find myself in. Me being obedient and faithful and sold out to him, no matter what the conditions are around me. And that very simply is to be about the business of taking the gospel message of Jesus to those that do not know him, and to be building the life of Jesus Christ in others called discipleship. I do this intentionally by my words and by my actions.
Mike, I want to link what you just said to what you just said earlier about being all to his glory. God's glory is at the call to be building the life of Jesus in others. God has pleasure in his Son who brings him glory. So as we continue the work of the Son, we bring glory to God. As people become followers of his Son, the glory of God increases. As we grow in maturity in Christ, we bring glory to God. The glory of God's greater than the universe because he created the universe to reflect and display his glory. God's perfection is such that everything created is designed to reflect and respond to his glory. So going into all the world to make disciples is not a duty, but a way to show love and honor to our Father. Our doing so pleases him and can become a pleasure to us. The more we understand of God and recognize his perfection, his holiness, his greatness, his beauty, his love, like Paul, we will be compelled to speak of him because he alone is worthy.
You know, Jim, as you say that, I just have to go a little bit further and say something else before we get into the scripture. And that is this, that it is important to understand that I cannot be asking for God's guidance and feeling frustrated that I do not get an answer from him when I am living in a deliberate disobedience to his already stated will in the scripture. I routinely have people who come to me for counseling who are frustrated and disappointed with God. And when we dig a little deeper, I find out that they're not living for him. They don't care to live for him. They're just looking for God to give them guidance and blessing and permission to continue or to start a situation that is sinful to begin with.
Mike, I remember several years ago at the counseling center, we had a married woman who came because she wanted help about the fact she was having an affair with a married man. She was a Christian, and she kept saying, if only God would tell me this is wrong, then I would leave him. But God's not telling me anything. Finally, the counselor said, it sounds like you want a personal message from God, but he's already said it is wrong in his word. If you won't listen to his word, it's unlikely he will give you a personal message.
That is very true, Jim. The reality is when somebody says, God hasn't spoken to me in this situation, I would just open up the scripture and say, he's already spoken, and he's written it for you to read and to follow. The key here to be led by the Holy Spirit is to hear his voice, and direct leading is to be walking with him and being about his work. Then he leads. I feel this is a pertinent, important discussion for us in light of Candlewood Church moving into a house church type format. I mean, I meet with these people. I pray for these people who come to the church. I share vital life with these people. And each of us desire in our core that the Holy Spirit directs us in the matters of his church. And as he does that within the house church format, life on life with each other, then glory goes to him as his church is built. Remembering this, that we need to be about God's already stated business for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and energize his work. And as he builds his church, he's building it his way and not necessarily our way.
And yet we've probably all been involved with or at least observed church leaders who make decisions using just human wisdom as if they were unsaved businessmen. All their plans are designed to maximize profits with little or no regard for the Great Commission or for seeking God's guidance. This is why it's so important to choose godly men to lead the church, not just people who operate profitable businesses to lead the church, but godly men. And it's also why, if we want to live lives that please our Lord, we go to him first in all our decisions. And for a lot of decisions, like Jim said, he's already given us his desire in writing.
And now, with that said, we look to our scripture for today, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 11. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 11. We realize that Paul and his mission group, really, which is right now Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, who's actually writing the Acts account for us, and others, I am sure, had just finished visiting the churches that they were led to visit by the Holy Spirit. And they came to a situation like you and I, and they thought, now what? Listen to the scripture as they get to that very place. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden, make note of that, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace. Let's pray. Father, as we look to your word, as we look to how you led this gospel troop, this mission group, Father, as we look to these people's lives, we realize that your heart and your mind has not changed. Your mode of operation is still the same, to bring the gospel to people who don't know you. So, Father, now we look with keen insight and teaching from your Holy Spirit to show us exactly how this scripture is so much like the experience I have with the Holy Spirit who lives within me, and how we thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. First thing we want to look at this morning is from Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 7. And we want to notice the step-by-step leadership of the Holy Spirit. This little gospel troop of people as they went and took the word to new regions. And I really do believe this is a pattern that we should all take note of. And it's interesting for me to note that this group was really doing it. They were humming. They were sharing Christ. There was fantastic results. They were really involved with the churches in building them up, and they were seeing fruit almost just about everywhere they went from what we read. And yet, the Holy Spirit stops them from going to do more of it. You'll note in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, you'll see this, that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Seems like Paul had determined that their next efforts would be to go to the west, toward the Roman province of Asia, which today would be more modern-day Turkey. And as Paul had decided that this was their next direction, the Holy Spirit said no. He was forbidden. Word in the Greek means this, restrained from doing so. Okay, that direction was shut down. And then in verse 7 we read this. Here they actually attempted to go north. They made a little bit of a trek north, but then the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go any further. It seems from the passage that this mission group was taking the next definite step to go north to Bithynia. And when they reached a certain area, Mysia, they were told not to go in this direction. So Paul goes in the direction that's left toward Troas, which was down toward the sea. In each of these cases, the Holy Spirit led by restraining, directing, giving them a closed door, as we would say, to take the word to certain areas. Now, I would have to say this. If we were in a discussion group, I'd ask you, weren't Paul's and this rest of the group, weren't his plans good? Actually, the places he was talking about going to, they did need Christ. But apparently the timing and the use of these people resources was not right for what the Holy Spirit wanted to accomplish and when he wanted to do it. So the Holy Spirit, God, stepped in and stopped them. Paul was not given any reasons for his plans being rejected. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit's church to do with and build as he sees fit. And also note this, Paul and his group were not discouraged that a door had closed in front of them. Hold it, not just one, two doors had closed in front of them. But they just continued to do what the Holy Spirit had led them to do.
Yeah, it really sounds like in this situation, the Spirit just slammed the door pretty hard. But it doesn't always look like that, does it? Sometimes it's not that well defined. I got an example. It just happened. We just made a decision this week here at Bible Basics, or I should say Missio Serve. That's the new name we're going to. We got a couple of new interns here at Missio Serve. Now, these young people live in Canada, and part of their internship is to spend a few months in Honduras working with the Guevaras. And they're really excited about it. So are David and Megan. It's a great ministry, and these young people are going to be helping the ministry, and they'll learn what it's like being a missionary. Well, it's obviously a good thing, but Honduras is still pretty shut down. And Canada is not allowing people to fly out right now except for essential travel, and they don't consider missions to be essential. The Guevaras have a lot of complications going on in their lives right now. So, you know, things might open up for them. But with all these challenges, these complications, all these unknowns, we've for a while been kind of leaning towards them not going. And the mission has finally decided just this week that we're going to cancel that and postpone that to, maybe till next year. And so we're still praying about it, but it looks like that's what's going to happen. So this is not a case necessarily of God slamming the door solidly like what we saw here in Acts, as much as it is that, you know, he's getting us to do some more praying about this, these things, whether they're really his obstacles or maybe it's something that he has permitted Satan to throw up in front of us to test us. It's not always easy to tell the difference, but we're asking the Spirit to help us to do just that. So the door hasn't slammed in your face, but you feel like you're really forcing something that isn't quite working out. Ask God to help you see if you're on the right path. Maybe you're not.
Thank you, Jerry. I would honestly say for everybody listening, as well as us in the booth here, that we've all had the experience where God in any number of areas has just shut the door in front of us and said, no, don't go in this direction. What I'm most interested in, though, is the attitude and how we handle the no, and does it lead to discouragement? Well, let's just see how Paul handles this. The second point this morning comes from verses 8 to 9 from Acts chapter 16. And in it, you will note, second point, note the clear call and leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, if Paul had just stopped and sat, he would have not been led. If Paul had just gone out and said, I'm just going to take a few days and maybe a few years and just sit and wait for the Holy Spirit to show up and tell me what to do and then I'll go do it, I don't think he would have been led. Paul and his group continued to do what God had called them to do. Paul was going to keep on doing what we've each been called to do with the gospel, and that is to present that message to people that need it. it was just really the question of where that was going to be taking place.
Mike, I remember talking to a Christian friend many years ago. He said, I want to be so full of the Holy Spirit, so led by the Spirit, that I never have to make another decision. I said, I don't think it works like that. God is sovereign, but we are always responsible for our choices and decisions. God wants us involved doing our best to make decisions that fit our understanding of Scripture. If we do this, God will figure out how to communicate with us His specific direction for implementing His plans. As people have said, a moving car is much easier to direct than one that is stopped.
Very good. Excellent insight. I really feel that many times when we face a closed door to do ministry, which we know is what we're called to do, a lot of times we get discouraged. After all, didn't we make a lot of plans? And didn't we pray about it a bunch? Maybe you ought to give the Holy Spirit glory for taking such a direct path of leading in our lives. We ask Him to lead, and when He does so by saying no, maybe our next response should be to glorify Him. The no from the Spirit could be for many reasons. For our own protection, maybe the people wouldn't be ready to receive the word that I have. Maybe that mission is for somebody else. We just trust His leading in these matters.
Yeah, we really have experienced that over the past several years, haven't we, guys? I lost track of how many times we looked for a better meeting place for Candlewood. And we found several possibilities, but the doors got loudly slammed in our faces. You know, it was really getting demoralizing. And then came the campus ministry opportunity with our mother church, Oakwood Community. Well, that seemed like a no-brainer for quite a while, didn't it? I think we all thought we were finally headed the way God wanted us to go. Smaller, more intimate gatherings scattered around town. Sounded more like the first century, didn't it? And it was going to be a great way for us to reach into a new and growing community. We were all excited about that. How could God not want that? Well, He didn't want it, and He didn't want us to do that, and He made it really clear by some of the events that I won't describe right now. But He definitely closed the door, didn't He? So now we're 1 week away from really getting into the local communities with house churches modeled as much as possible on the local churches of the first century. As disappointing as those closed doors were, I think all of us elders and deacons are thankful for them because they steered us in what looks right now like the direction God wants us going, in the direction of all the world. Closed doors, they can be a real blessing because God uses them to steer us to the doors that He has opened for us.
Well said, Jerry. And really something we need to understand in the history of Candlewood, that we made many attempts to change our ministry format and location. We prayed, we sought, and we surely knew that the door had been closed, the door had been closed, the door had been closed. Until we got to this house church idea, and we tinkered with it, and prayed about it, and thought about it, and planned about it, and the door was wide open. And it is why there's an enthusiasm in our congregation about doing this very format. In this case here with Paul and his group, they were clearly being called to Europe, Macedonia. And the leading is very clear. In fact, a man from Macedonia is calling for help. In fact, he's saying, come help us in the emphatic. It's a cry of desperation. It's a cry of immediacy, like, come help us now. It's so emphatic that there's no way that Paul could miss it.
You know, Mike, I'm just thinking of a time when I followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. I had a friend named JJ, some of you may have heard me talk about him, who had many health problems. I had prayed for his salvation for years. One day, I heard that he was in the hospital, and something in my spirit said, this is the end, and I felt compelled to go visit him. On the way, I prayed, Father, please make it clear to me if JJ is a follower of yours, and if he is not, give me a chance to explain the gospel to him again. I got there, and he was chipper. Doing well, about to be released. He said he had just been dehydrated, so I'm thinking, well, maybe I misunderstood. But I stayed, and about when I was going to ask and start a conversation, the chaplain came in and asked if JJ wanted him to pray with him. JJ said yes. Then the chaplain said this, before I pray, I want to ask if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. JJ said, yes, sir, I am. My question was answered. JJ was released later that day, and the next morning he died unexpectedly at home. I thank God for the Holy Spirit's direction and my willingness to follow His direction. There's so much greater peace knowing where JJ is.
Wow, that's powerful. You know, what's also powerful is in this illustration and vision is that the very souls of these people, this people group, were crying for help. And they weren't crying for food and medicine and things like that. They were crying for the type of help that Paul and his group could bring. Only that group could bring. That being the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were ready for that message, and they just needed to get it. And this stirred Paul to action. He had to react. Remember, harvest was ripe. The need was great. It always has been. The need is still present today. And the call on the church is also still present today. And we must go now. This vision is so clear. This teaching in the world is so clear. How can we miss it? You'll notice now as we move along in verses 10 to 11 of Acts chapter 16, I want you to note particularly the immediate response to the Holy Spirit. Paul had obviously shared this vision with his group. And Luke tells us, we sought to go on. They had complete buy-in. They were going to do this. They knew it was of the Holy Spirit too. And they together joined this effort and the obvious leading of the Holy Spirit. This one event emboldened them, having this vision, to share the gospel to a new region and a new people group that I am sure they had with renewed vigor. The one thing to note was how immediately they reacted. It was a right now type of situation. No time was going to be lost doing anything else.
Micah, as you're saying this, I'm thinking of all the times I've been involved in leadership teams of churches and sensing God's Spirit. Now, I've never been led by a vision like Paul was. However, I've sensed the Holy Spirit leading us through circumstances, as you've mentioned in this, through opportunities that energized our hearts, through thoughtful and prayerful conversation with the leadership team that leads to a consensus that all of us feel is the decision that God wants us to make. When this happens, there's a kind of excitement and unity of purpose that pulls us along. It feels like we are on an adventure with God. And I think that's how the Candlewood leadership team has felt about moving to a house church.
Yeah, sometimes I think that following Jesus is a little like being a running back on a football team. Your coaches teach the importance of running north and south when you're carrying that ball. It means you don't waste a lot of time and energy running from sideline to sideline. You see a hole in the defense, and you get through it as quickly as you can. They always stress that. You got to hit that hole fast. You got to hit it hard. And as hard as you can and as fast as you can, because those holes, they'll just close in a blink of an eye. Bam, gone. And then you don't get anywhere. And if you can move the ball 5 yards downfield, that accomplishes a lot more, way more than moving it 25 yards towards the sideline if you don't go forward. When we see an opening for the gospel, it's just vital that we take that. We don't know when the next door is going to open up. Paul was like that. He charged full speed into growing God's kingdom. I wish I had a quarter of his drive. In Ephesians 5, Paul gave a list of behaviors and attitudes that godly people exhibit. Then in verses 15 and 16, he said this. He said, "Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." And you know, the older I get, the more aware I am of that urgency of doing what Jesus said to do.
Thank you, Jerry. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said this, to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And that imperative, those orders, have not been changed. They've not been lifted since they were given. So let me ask you this. What is your personal response to what Jesus has commanded about your responsibility with his gospel message? What's your plan for what you're going to do with that gospel message? And have you put that plan into action? Have you experienced the Holy Spirit saying no, not yet with somebody, or yes in regards to where to share it and who to share it with? Let me challenge you this morning to recommit to the responsibility that the Holy Spirit has given you. That responsibility being that you have been entrusted with the message of Jesus. You have it. You got it. And there are so many around who need it. What are you going to do with it? Let's pray. Our Father, our God, how we do thank you for Jesus Christ. And even now, once again, we open ourselves like never before to listen to your Holy Spirit, to listen to your Holy Spirit guide and direct, to say yes and to say no, as we are about the imperatives of sharing your gospel message with those who don't know you and also with those who do. Father, use us and spend us as you see fit. Father, continue to bless Candlewood with this new initiative of the house churches, and we will thank you for everything that you do and acknowledge that it's you and give you all the glory, for you deserve it. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.